Welcome to the Tiba Purpose Lived podcast series. In conversation with Gia Whitehead, Tiba Business School co-founder and chairperson.
Welcome. We have Simon Sisman from Woolworths with us today. And thank you for joining us, Simon, for our Purpose Lived podcast conversations. Tiba has been around, this is our 18th year. And since inception, we've really been about enabling social justice and a bright future for young people by providing a unique education focused on entrepreneurship, leadership, and really the discovery of purpose and integrated social development in our curricula. And these are really defining features that make Tiba unique. The broad theme of our purpose-lived conversations and around Tiba has always underpinned and driven our work and our approach to education. Living with purpose, the discovery of our own unique purpose journey, and doing so for a collective is what we believe people are capable of and really what makes us fully human, as committed and caring family, community, and global citizens. So Simon, welcome. Thank you for being with us today and making the time and for living your purpose and sharing that and your journey on the, and thoughts on the subject. So to get started, would you tell us a little bit about yourself in a short few minutes and what you do, what you've done, and what you're doing now?
Thank you, Gia. I'm a shopkeeper is what I do, and I've done that most of my life. And what I'm doing now is I'm a grandfather shopkeeper. So I'm no longer active in the retail business, but that has been my career and my passion all my working life. And I've retired officially from the retail business, but I'm in the very privileged position that I'm involved with a number of retailers around the world in various forms as consultant, chairman, and indeed in Woolies, I'm the honorary president, which is a very sweet title, which means I have an office and I sit in the corner and don't interfere. I'm mostly very, very lucky. I'm lucky to be busy. I'm lucky to have now my grandchildren living in Cape Town. And I'm lucky to remain stimulated. And I think all of us in life want to carry on contributing as long as we can. And the ability to do that on a number of organizations that I'm involved with is indeed a great privilege.
Thanks, Simon. To get started, where does your purpose-lived story start? Do you feel like living on purpose means doing what truly matters to you in alignment with your values and beliefs?
So I think it's a really interesting question, Gia. I think the purpose is to do as best as you can. That's always been my purpose. How do I do it better? How do I do it as best as I can? How do I stimulate, prompt, guide, challenge others to do it as best they can? And that really has been what has driven me over the years. There's a sense of seeking for excellence. So what does excellence mean? If it's excellence in education, if it's excellence in leadership, if it's excellence in helping your children see the world differently, how do you pursue that excellence relentlessly and do things better and better and better? Knowing that you're going to fail all the way along and still carry on seeking that excellence.
So that makes me think about courage and the meaning of courage to you. How do we inspire it to purpose?
So courage is a difficult word. Courage is a difficult word. And I think it's one of the great challenges that leaders constantly face. And indeed, we're living today with Russia invading a tiny country on its border, That is not courageous. The courageous thing for Putin to have done would have been to back off. But he's not courageous, he's a bully. So there's a big difference between being a bully and being courageous. Each of us in our challenges have to kind of work. There's a wonderful Shakespearean quote, which is, screw thy courage to the sticking point, which is mean like take a deep breath and do what you think is right. I think in that case it was wrong, but do what you think is right. And most of the time, that's quite difficult because there are all sorts of pressures on you to toe the line, to obey, to do what others guide you to do what the market wants you to do what people around you are pressuring you to do. But screw thy courage to the sticking point and get on with what you believe is right is a really powerful process.
Yeah, Simon, that answers my next question was, like you say, in a world with all these immense challenges and chaos, how do we go forward on this theme? How do we, you know, take the concept of purpose lived to humanity forward?
So in that, Gia, is always your ability to question yourself. So it's very easy to come to a quick conclusion and say, okay, that's what we should do. And I was told by, I had a wonderful coach, a wonderful man called Colin Hall, and he was my chairman for a number of years. And he said, you need to keep seeking the simplicity on the other side of complexity. And I never really understood that statement until I sort of matured in my business career. And the point is that truly quality simple answers only come from a deep understanding of the complexity of a situation. So if you don't understand and question and probe and try and see whether your thinking is right, challenge yourself, challenge the others around you to get all the complexity, only then can you find the simple answer on the other side. And if you can find that simple answer, that's what it takes the courage to stick with.
And that's really how we can guide others to identify their values and their own purpose. And interestingly, Colin Hall came up in the previous podcast as someone who really inspired others. So we're really lucky and fortunate to be engaging with these people. Is he or are there anyone else that really has embodied a life of purpose that for you?
Well, I think I've, again, been extraordinarily privileged. I've been exposed to business leaders, to retail leaders, to political leaders. And the ones I admire all through my life have been those that have this higher sense of not just delivering votes or delivering profits or delivering bottom line, but of delivering something that means change, improvement, excellence, as I said, to the communities in which they serve. And I think great business leaders do that. They aren't just out to maximize profits. In general, if that's what they're doing, they're going to fail. They'll maximize their profits and they'll fall off a cliff. But those who want to change the world around them are the ones that certainly have had the biggest impact on myself and I believe on the thousands of others that depend on them for the jobs they create.
Simon, that leads me into my next question or two questions. The one is around, you know, how do you live with purpose when you're more concerned about your next meal in light of South Africa's Gini coefficient and the realities that we're faced with? You know, how do you expect people in poverty to lead in that way? And then you speak about community and you also speak about, you know, not only about out there, but what about the environment? And again, how do you, you know, who do we look after? Do we look after the people, the environment? Are they interconnected? And how do we focus to really, you know, care for both?
Let me start on you talked about the Gini coefficient. there are a few things that make me angry, but our labor legislation in South Africa makes me angry. And I believe that we've erected a barrier that protects those in work from those out of work. And that barrier is insurmountable. So we have inappropriately minimum wages. And the biggest cause of our Gini coefficient gap is the unemployed. And I hear very few people talking for the unemployed. And the unemployed should be allowed to work, should be allowed to get on the work ladder. I often say that the best qualification for your next job is your previous job. So allow people into the ladder of being employed. Yes, at low wages. We don't have a skilled workforce unless we've trained it. But people can get trained. And once they've had their first job, they will aspire and be able to get into their second job. So the first thing I would do in South Africa is change the labor legislation rapidly, quickly, and get people to work and give them the privilege of working. And then we can talk about purpose. But right now, we're not allowing them to work. We're outpricing the labor in our country. So that's a very, very big issue. Your second point is, can you differentiate between the environment and the benefit to people? Are they different? No, they're totally and utterly the same. And indeed, I work for a number of NGOs, as I think you're aware, one of which is an environmental NGO. And our primary purpose is to improve people's lives by improving the environment. So we're able to capture carbon, we're able to improve grazing techniques, we're able to improve people relationships within those communities, we're able to bring a market to those communities, which has made a dramatic impact on their lives and increased the water table and the bird life and sequestered carbon. So if you set out to do it scientifically and properly, you can bring all of it together. And we have no choice. If we carry on destroying the environment, there won't be food on the table. People will develop all sorts of breathing problems, which we've seen. So we have to look after both. We have to look after our people, and we have to look after nature, and nature will help us look after our people.
Absolutely. And SIBA's really working to also bring in that sustainable green element into our curriculum, because that's really important as future leaders to be thinking about all of it as an interconnected. And we can learn a lot from your other organization. We'd love to connect. Simon, if you were at a dinner party, or you could invite any three people, whether they were dead or alive, and have a dinner conversation, who would you invite?
Well, I thought three was really unfair, except that I do believe in focus. So I kind of, because this was a trick question, it was in the things to think about. So I would definitely invite my mother. She's 95. She's as sharp as a button. She's lived through the war in London. She's worked against apartheid. She's been an incredible leader of our family. And she's as sharp as a button. And I would want her wisdom. And then I'd pick any of the children. I've got four children, they're all different. And they all have different wisdoms and they all have different explorations that they're on. And I'd want to hear about their explorations. And then I'd have any of my grandchildren. And they would just make everybody smile. And my grandson the other day, when I took him to school, I was asking about, well, who's your friend and who's in the class? He's 5 years old. And a few other questions. He looked at me and says, "Grandpa, you ask an awful lot of questions, don't you?" So then I shut up. So I think that would make quite a nice grouping. And you can keep all the world leaders, because they do have their wisdoms and they do have their thoughts and they do have their sense of purpose. But I think three generations of our family as a mix of any family brings such different thoughts and perspectives to a gathering.
Phenomenal. And it's, yeah, what's interesting is this question has come up in a few podcasts, and often it's coming back to family. And I think that's really important, is around the purpose starts with you and your family. And if you, that's, if the ship was sinking and it was your last, you know, time on earth, that's where you'd want to be. And if you create a happy family, then everything else will fall into place. So I love that. Thanks, Simon. Yeah, I've got so many questions. You know, do you think there's hope, you know, for the country, the world, for humanity and the environment? Do you think there's, are you positive?
The answer is yes, 100%, 100%. And when I listen, when I look at this tragedy of Russia and Ukraine, and I think, you know, we're just repeating all the evils of any dictator that has ever lived. You think, well, there isn't any change, but there is actually change. Even the fact, and this is an ironical statement, that America and Europe are not going to war is a change, because 100 years ago, they would have gone to war on this and another 50 million people would have been killed. So they're weird changes. They're weird differences that are better. But if you look at us, we are living longer as a species. We are living healthier. We have this incredible ability to learn and communicate through the internet increasingly as we grow older. Not as we grow older, as time moves on. And in general, poverty is shrinking, and until very recently, quite rapidly. And I expect that to kick back in. And I think if you go back 30 years, there were 2 billion people living around the world who were living in abject poverty. And that figure had dropped 3 years ago, just pre-COVID, to about 800 million people. So it's still an enormous quantity. But what an improvement. And as a percentage of the world's population, there is way less poverty. And if you bring that even to South Africa, with the social grants and such employment as we have been creating, there is considerably less poverty as a proportion of our workforce, as our population, than there was 20 years ago. So there are improvements going on. I think they can be accelerated dramatically, but there are improvements to living standards, to life. And yes, there are challenges that we have to face. We have to stop burning fossil fuel. We have to push education down the line. We have to bring a sense of purpose to people who are at the moment, as I say, not allowed to work. Allow them to work. They'll develop their own sense of purpose. Everybody does.
Absolutely. And I believe that if you have a strong sense of purpose, you'll live longer and lead healthier lives and be more psychologically resilient. So that's crucial. Simon, what stands out as a book that you've read, besides the religious texts and things that to inspire us?
So I suppose 2 books. The one, when I was in my teens, I read an author called Ayn Rand. Now, Ayn Rand is hugely politically incorrect at the moment. She's an out-and-out capitalist. Some of her views are not acceptable today. But what reading her books taught me was the strength of the individual and how we as individuals can drive to our purpose. And it was very, very impactful on me. And it pushed onto me a sense of my own personal responsibility. So Ayn Rand, I thought, was fascinating. There were 2 that I read, I think At the Shrugged, and I can't remember the name of the other one. You're not allowed to talk about them today, but boy, did they influence me. And then the second, of course, is The Little Prince. And the dreaminess of the little prince, and that there is magic in the world, and he was on his own little world. So on the one hand, you have this deep sense of I as a person have to succeed, and the other is that there is a dreaminess and a wonder around it. And if I can embrace that, I can give some of that back to the world.
Beautiful. Last question. Simon, what are you most proud of in your life?
I think I'm proud that I tried my hardest. Now that sounds a very egotistical thing to say, but I think it's important because the tone of this conversation is about purpose. So if you say to yourself, okay, fine, if your purpose is to achieve excellence, your purpose is to be courageous, and then you've got to try very hard. And I've made horrific mistakes, business-wise, personally, on all sorts of fields, but I've managed to keep on trying and keep on pushing. And if I can leave that to my children, if I can leave that to the people that I've worked with, the tens of thousands of people that I think I've had influence over during my business career, then yes, I would be quite proud of that.
Simon, thank you. Your insights have been hugely valuable, and you really are truly someone who has lived with purpose, and you show that every day in the way you give back, in the way that you live and value what you have and your family. And Kleber hugely values you too as a mentor to myself personally and to many people in the team, and in really helping Kleber with its vision and strategy. So thank you. I really believe that we all have everything we need inside, and you'll become who you're meant to be, you know, when you realize who you already are. And thank you for sharing today. Thank you.
So can I say one last thing as an elderly interviewee? So I have a friend who also ran a retail business in India. And when he retired, I said to him, Nagesh, what are you going to do now? You're retiring. And he says, Simon, for the first third of my life, I was learning. And then the second third of my life, I was earning. And the third third of my life, I'm going to do some returning. And he started a huge charity that looks after shop assistants. I mean, he's done incredible work. But I think it's a good mantra for all of us. So we learn as we're young. In fact, we never stop learning, but we officially learn as we're young. We then earn or grow or develop in the middle of our lives. And then we give back at the end to society, to the community, to our family, to organizations like CIBA. And it's a great mantra for those looking at that last third.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you very much.